Well, this is the third week of Advent. And in the third week of Advent, we always have a text about John, the cousin of Jesus. And he's usually called John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. But this year, our text about John is from the Gospel of John. And in that Gospel, his role as a baptizer is not emphasized. Instead, he's called John the Witness. In fact, the word witness appears 47 times in the Gospel of John. That's like more than half the times that it appears in the entire New Testament. But the word witness is a little bit uncomfortable to us, right? I mean, it strikes up notions of proselytizing. I mean, when I was, I hate to tell you this, but when I was 12 years old, I was raised in a super kind of narrow version of Christianity, and I thought it was my duty to witness. And so I literally, this is the days of the phones that were, you know, like had cords and stuff. And so I picked up the phone and I randomly dialed a number to witness to the people on the other end. And they were very gracious to me. But anyway, so witness, it's tough. I went to a conference last year at Luther called Rethinking Evangelism, and I got to hear the great African-American Episcopal Bishop of North Carolina, Michael Curry, preach. And he said this: if you want to strike terror into the heart of any Episcopalian, tell them they have to witness. But to be a witness to Jesus is not about getting people to think exactly the way you do. It is about having the vision to see what is already in front of us that we're blind to. In John 1, the gospel says that although Jesus made the world and came into the world did not recognize him. Even though Jesus is the light of the world, that does us no good if we can't see him in the first place. So, witnessing is first of all seeing. So I would like to ask you honestly, what is it that you see when you see Jesus? I think some see a great teacher, one who modeled an ethical way of life based on nonviolence and justice in solidarity with the poor. Some people see a personal savior whose death atoned for their sins and was mostly about the fate of our souls in the afterlife. Some see a king, a crusader, kind of a messiah, one in whose name we should go out and convert the world. And some wince at the name of Jesus because in his name, crosses have been burned on African American lawns and under whose standard the Crusades were marched and fought in Europe. And even Hitler professed a distorted version of Christianity. So I ask you again, honestly, what is it that you see when you see Jesus? In Advent, we're looking for the coming of Christ, but we also assert that he has already come. He's already with us, among us as Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near and was born and is springing up all around us all the time. So, how do we see this? Especially in this week has been called the Week of Outrage, where yesterday many, many protesters marched. Actually, all throughout the week, many protesters marched against systemic racism in our justice system. How is it in this environment that we are to see or recognize Jesus anywhere? Well, even though we hear the name Jesus a lot, I submit to you that Jesus comes to us as a surprise. Good news that is unexpected in unexpected places. I don't know how many of you have taken the time to read the shares on our website, Under, so there's, you know, if you look on our website, there's Way of Jesus in one corner. And under that, there are these practices that we've identified as the way we follow the way of Jesus here. And lots of people from this very parish have submitted their shares on how they've engaged those practices. So if you haven't read them, you really should look at them. But one of them was written by Jeff Kidder, our Sunday evening music director. He submitted a share on generosity. But to me, that share exactly models what it is to see Jesus. So in that blog, he describes how he and his wife, Kristen, more than 20 years ago were at Messiah, and Messiah Episcopal Church was financially supporting a church in Haiti. But they decided that they wanted to build more relationships with the people they were writing checks to. So they, Jeff and Kristen and a bunch of people from Messiah flew to Haiti with the purpose of building relationships and, you know, maybe helping out with some building projects and whatnot. They wanted to be more personal with their support. And when they got there, they experienced some very unexpected things. First, they encountered the people at this parish in Haiti as full of joy and resourcefulness. And they were deeply committed to following the way of Jesus, so much so that the people of Haiti were very sacrificial in the way that they provided hospitality for Jeff and Kristen and his friends. So Jeff describes that as he witnessed the joy and freedom that God can give even in the midst of experiencing poverty, of which he was the recipient. And even more deeply, Jeff describes that, so this small band of U.S. Christians who went there ended up having to be really vulnerable to each other, sharing what they were experiencing in this unfamiliar environment, because it was challenging them in lots of ways. And they had to take more risks about what they shared with each other to process it. And the outcome of that was this incredible Christian community that so inspired them, they decided when they came back to the U.S., they had to completely revamp their way of life. So what they did is they decided to move to Frogtown, which is one of the more impoverished sections of St. Paul, and they committed to working half-time or three-quarter time and living off what they could make on that in order to have the time to develop community with the people of Frogtown. And they've been there for more than 20 years. So over the years, they've worked on their mission statement a lot. You know how you tinker with a mission statement? But it's gotten simpler and simpler. And at the end, what it's been for the last 15 years or so is love Jesus, live Jesus in community in Frogtown. Well, that, my friends, is witness. The word witness in Greek is the same word for the word martyr. And it got that way because in Greek, as in English actually, witness was a legal term. And it meant, you give testimony in court. But the thing is, then the penalty for lying in court was a capital offense. It was death. So to witness, legally speaking, meant to stake one's life on what one was saying. So Jeff and his wife and their community have staked their lives on the vision of Jesus they had in Haiti more than 20 years ago. In today's age of suicide bombers, we are as uncomfortable with the word martyr as we are with the word witness. But it just means something that is worth your whole life. In the daily office lectionary for this morning, there's a psalm that says, God's loving kindness is better than life itself. That is the sense of the vision of Jesus that God gives. It's a vision of good news that is surprising and life-changing, and it moves in the direction of solidarity and wholeness. Well, seeing Jesus is always both personal and cosmic. It's both of those things. I think, who was it, Gandhi, who said you have to be the change that you want to see in the world? Well, we can't be the change that we want to see in the world left to our own devices. But having a vision of the God who comes to us in vulnerability opens us to who Jesus is. Jesus' name means salvation, which is a broad word that means healing and wholeness and restoration. Well, seeing Jesus in this way flips us from being curved in on ourselves, which means focus primarily on our own needs and wants and suffering, and to having the freedom and joy to serve others in his name. In the week of outrage, we do need a vision of Jesus. The racial tensions in this country right now are deeply rooted and longstanding, and there is injustice here. So we need a God who comes among us, not from a position of power, but from the underside. We need the light of the world to reveal the truth about what is happening within us and around us, and to show us how to proceed. Well, so what do we do with all this? We who follow the way of Jesus need to ask God for the vision to see and recognize him all around us. This week, I want to invite you to seek ways to encounter Jesus from a position of vulnerability. Well, why vulnerability? That's a whole nother sermon. But in a nutshell, it's just physics. If you're already full, God cannot fill you with God's light and presence. If you already think you see everything that can be understood, you can't get a vision. So I invite you to do these two things. Number one, get in touch with your own vulnerability. And number two, seek Jesus from that place. That vulnerability might come in the ways that Tina and Valerie modeled for us last week in the Faith Forum. They were talking about how they go to the north side and grapple with the suffering that they encounter there and are often at their wit's end. I mean, like, they have done their best and still they don't know what to do. But in that vulnerability, they experience the power of God, which is greater than them. Getting in touch with your own vulnerability might come in the form of the humility to encounter someone whose position is really different from yours, and then just listen to what they have to say. Maybe you're already in touch with vulnerability in your life. You might be dealing with a health problem or a marriage problem or overwork. Whatever your area of vulnerability is, I invite you to really encounter it and then ask God to show you how God is with you. Ask God for a vision of Jesus. May God make all of us witnesses who cannot stop talking about what we've seen and heard. Light in the dark, life in the midst of death, joy despite poverty, in a word, Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.